And so we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we are on day three of the prayer to the Holy Spirit. So this is great. This is glorious. And we'll continue with on page 22 of the bottom paragraph. Therefore, courage in the painful circumstances of life. And this is what Jesus wants us to know. It's we're going to have difficulties. Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. We will have problems. We will have difficulties. But he says, be courageous. Those were the first words of Pope Benedict. When John Paul II became Pope, he says, do not be afraid. And now with Pope Benedict, he says, have courage. We're going to have to go through some tough things. But we have to remember that God is victorious. So he says, however, know that your Jesus shall never abandon you. I don't know how to do these things. My love is not volatile by nature, but firm and constant. And what I say with my mouth comes out from the life of my heart. Okay, so Jesus, everything that he tells Louisa is from his heart. Everything that he wants us to know is from his sacred heart. He says, creatures instead, they say one thing and feel another in their hearts. They mix many human ends and also in making friends. This is why they change according to the circumstances. So their dispersion of those who seem to want to lay down their lives in good times and who cravenly run away in the times of humiliations and scorns, they are all effects of the human will. The human will is the true prison of the creature. It is clever in the art of being able to form many little rooms, but all without windows, because it is not skilled at forming openings in order to receive the good of the light. So our God wants us to understand that, like we mentioned before, the light of the divine will is seen in Jesus at Transfiguration. The light of the divine will is seen in the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe. This light that emanates from Jesus at Mary is what our God wants us to live in. That's what Louisa lived in. And I said before, as you begin to live this, you don't have to say anything. As you begin to live this light, wherever you are, people are attracted to the light. And it's not you. It's Jesus. It's Mary. It's Louisa. It's the life of the divine will. Again, you don't promote the divine will in human terms. You don't promote the divine will like you would with divine mercy. Divine will is to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that's found in Louisa. That's what the divine will is. To begin to live this life. It's really the reflection of the Holy Trinity on earth. Our job is to not do, but be. We're called to just be living in the divine will, to exist in this life of God. It goes beyond meditative. It goes beyond contemplative. You enter into the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. How glorious this is, that our God is offering us this. He didn't offer it to all the saints. As a matter of fact, he didn't offer it to any of the saints. He offered to the saints to have a virtue or two of Jesus, a virtue or two of Mary. But to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, has only been given to Louisa. And now God is offering this to us. So he says, therefore, passions, weaknesses, fear, excess worries, inconstancy are as many dark rooms of the prison of the human will. And the soul remains now hampered in one, now hampered in another. And fear makes the soul fear and move away from the one Jesus who laying down his life for love of her. So again, do not worry about anything. You know, if this is the one thing about the divine will that's so much fun is everything changes constantly. You know, if when you do a retreat, everything changes, and it's always fear. Otherwise, you're going to have a nervous breakdown. It's always yes. Like when Father Bucci was supposed to come last year, it was fear. When he couldn't come, it was fear. When he got on the Skype at first, it was fear. When he got on the Skype, it was fear. See, it's to let God have His way. Jesus is always testing us. Whether to see we're going to push and shove to put our will down, or to just relax and say, let it be done as you say. And just, it's always fun to watch what God does. It's always, He is in control, and He has so much fun. I mean, just think about what He said to Louisa. He said to Louisa that my mother, this is what He says in volume 15, my mother crushes the head of Lucifer. And then He says, you, Louisa, the little daughter, will put the final kaput on the head of Lucifer. Final crush of his head. So then what does God do? He makes Italy look like a boot, and He puts Corrado where the heel is. So every time the devil looks at the earth, he sees he's going to be crushed every time he looks at the earth. And our God always has fun. He's a loving God. He's a happy God. He plays with His children. And this is why I'm saying, don't say no to Jesus in any aspect. He's always talking to us. He's always communicating with us. He is the Word, and He wants us to give our yes. He wants us to give our fiat. And that's the fun part. He has plans, and all He says is, would you take the first step? And we go, okay. And He goes, would you take the second step? And we go, okay. Would you take the third? He's always leading, always guiding, always directing. There's nothing to fear. So, fear makes the soul move away from Jesus. On the other hand, the one in whom my divine will reigns and lives in my royal palace, in which there is so much divine light that the pains, the humiliations, the calamities are nothing other than the stairs and the triumphs of the glory, the completion of the great and divine works. So instead of running away from the poor martyr who has been cast into the dust by the human perversity, the soul draws closer to Jesus, waiting with patience for the hour of the new triumph. See, everything's new, but God's triumph. So when you're humiliated, when you're ridiculed, when you're misunderstood, when you're abandoned, when you're spit upon, when you're persecuted, when you're ignored, when you're laughed at, good. Because Jesus says this is what He went through. And He says, come closer to Me. This is what I went through. And then we say to Jesus, this is the divine will. Lord, I am sorry it's happening to you, but I want to repair this. Not only for this situation, but for all situations, past, present, and future. And see, we're the repairer with Louisa. It's to begin to repair the face of the earth. To redo the face of the earth, to remake the face of the earth. This is what's so exciting about this gift is you basically watch God work. You watch God have fun with His little children. You watch God. See, the human will is, He said He had to give us free will. He says He wants us to choose whether to live in our misery or to live in God's happiness, to live in our human will or to live in God's holy divine will. So he, when we say, I want Your divine will, I'm willing to give up my misery, God is so happy. And then He makes us happy. So again, this is, we wait with patience for the hour of the new triumph. Volume 30, 17:32. Blessed daughter, my acts and those of my Queen Mama, our love, our sanctity, are in the act of continuously waiting to enclose Your acts in between our own acts so as to give them the shape of our acts and to place the seal of our own upon Your acts. So we are called to do what Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, have done. It's not just to do what the saints have done. The saints do holy, good, and beautiful things, but they're not divine. Jesus is now asking us to let go of the holy, let go of the good, let go of the saintly, and begin to embrace the divine. And to be divinized is why God created us to be in His image and likeness, to do what God does. This is what He's got planned. So He says, in fact, you must know, and this is a command from Jesus, that the acts of the Sovereign Queen of Heaven are braided with my acts, therefore they are inseparable. Whatever Jesus has done, Mary has done. Whatever Mary has done, Jesus has done. They're inseparable. So when you say Jesus, and this is very important, you're always saying Mary. When you say Mary, you're always saying Jesus as well. You can't separate the two. It's always Jesus and Mary. It's always Jesus and Mary in everything. So when Jesus says to Louisa, I want you to receive what I possess, He says to Louisa, I want you also to receive what my mother possesses, because we're inseparable. And so therefore, you know, how glorious is this? And that's just what's so sad about our separated brethren. They don't understand yet that without Mary, they can't have the Holy Spirit. See, Mary is the daughter of the Father. She is the mother of the Son. And she's the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. So if they're praying for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they have to have the Blessed Mother. They have to. There is no true Holy Spirit without the Blessed Mother. So what's really glorious is that's why everyone's going to be in the church. Everyone's going to be Catholic, because they're going to have Jesus and they're going to have Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So Jesus says, you must know that the acts of the Sovereign Queen of Heaven are braided with my acts and therefore are inseparable. And the one who lives in our divine volition comes to operate in the middle of our braiding. And her acts, Louisa's acts, remain enclosed in between our acts, which keep them in custody as triumph and works of the Holy Fiat. So when you braid, you always need three pieces. Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And we are linked to Louisa. So when we do something with Louisa, it's always with Jesus and Mary. It's the three braids that come together. Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. This is strong. When you have one rope, it's good. But when you have three ropes braided together, it's strong. It's unbreakable. It's the same thing with us. When we pray with Louisa, we're also praying with Jesus and Mary. When we command with Louisa, we're also commanding with Jesus and Mary. This isn't I telling you what to do, but we're allowing Jesus and Mary to speak in our speaking. It's to receive the royalty that Adam lost. Again, what we've learned for 2,000 years is to plead with God, beg with God, you know, implore God, you know, please, 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 constantly. In the divine will, Jesus says He's going to teach us how to command, as Adam commanded. And it's not me, again, or you saying you're going to do this. It's Jesus, speak in my speaking. Bring about that command. When Jesus stood up in the boat and said, quiet, to the wind, it obeyed. That's what you're going to begin to experience little by little. This life of the divine will is so amazing. Again, do not say no to the Lord. Don't compromise what He wants you to do. Let everything that He shows you give your fiat. And that's why it says, when you braid with Jesus and Mary through Louisa, your acts, you're enclosed between God's acts and keeps them in custody as triumphs and the works of the Holy Fiat. So, like I said, the one thing, you know, John Paul II had one miracle. St. Honorable de Francia had one miracle. Louisa is going to have thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of miracles. Wait till you see when this begins. When the church finally says Louisa is venerable, and the church says, show us a miracle, the Vatican is going to be overwhelmed by miracles. I mean, they're already being overwhelmed. The amount of miracles. When I was in Pittsburgh a couple months ago, this man was given the relic card of Louisa. If you don't have any relic cards, really take one. Somebody gave it to him, and he was filled with cancer, fourth degree cancer, filled with cancer. And he kissed the card and said to Louisa, "Help me." Put the card in his pocket, went to the doctor the next day, and he was completely cured, completely healed. He had cancer in his blood. And the doctor looked at him and said, "This is a miracle." Well, then I saw him the next day, and he's sitting in where we're having a meeting like this, and he looked bewildered. And I went up to him and I said, "Well, what's going on?" He says, "Well, I think I might be healed." And I said, "Well, what did the doctor say?" He says, "The doctor told me it's a miracle." I said, "Well, then it's a miracle." I don't think you have to worry about it. This is constant. It's constant. Louisa, this is the thing that's going to astonish you. As Father Bucci said, Louisa is the saint. Louisa is the saint. When she was alive, they called her Louisa la Santa. Louisa is the saint. Go to her. Talk to her. Pray to her. Ask her for her intercession. And then step back and watch. See, Jesus, when you think about it, you know, he loved St. Teresa. He loved St. Bernadette. He loved these great saints. But this is Jesus and Mary's newborn. This is the firstborn of the divine will. Because of Louisa, Jesus says, sanctification is going to take place. One of the titles Jesus gives to Louisa is, "You are the redemptrix of my fiat." Now, Mary is the co-redemptrix of redemption, and people don't want to hear it. She co-redeemed with Christ. She's with Jesus at the foot of the cross. Louisa is the redemptrix of God's fiat, which means there is no sanctification without Louisa. This is astonishing. And like I said, Cardinal Burke said he is overwhelmed by what he hears of Louisa. And that's what's happening in the Vatican. In the Vatican, a lot of people don't want Louisa to be canonized, don't want Louisa to be made venerable, because everything changes. All their little programs, all their little games, all their lives that they've all planned is going to be topsy-turvy. It's going to be turned upside down. Why? Because God is bringing his kingdom through a little one, through a newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. Again, when you pray with Louisa, know that you're praying with Jesus and Mary at the same time. These are not simple, common prayers. These are powerful. And when you pray with confidence to Jesus and Mary through Louisa. And everything, you're going to be astonished of how everything works with Louisa. You know, this is so beautiful. See, Jesus says, "Nothing enters into our acts if it is not a birth from the divine will. See then where this divine sanctity of Louisa, who lives in our will, is formed. This sanctity is formed in the middle of our sanctity," Jesus and Mary's sanctity. Louisa loves in the center of our Jesus and Mary's love and operates in the midst of our Jesus and Mary's works. So, Louisa, the one who operates in our divine will, shall feel as though in her own nature the inseparability. She from our Jesus and Mary's acts, and we, Jesus and Mary, from her own acts. Her eye blink, her swallow, her step. And just as the light, this divine light, is inseparable from the heat, and the heat from the light, and therefore they are our continuous triumph, our glory, our victory over the human will. And they are our divine properties that we, Triune God, form in Louisa. And she, Louisa, forms in us. The human will and the divine will kiss each other continuously. They fuse together. And God carries out his divine life in Louisa. And Louisa carries out her life in God. See, there's no separation. See, our Lord wants this dirt, this dust, to share in his divinity. That's what he did with Adam. He breathed into this dirt. And now he says, as we read, just like Louisa, who read, puff by puff, he breathes into us. Not all at once, but little by little. And this is why he says, I can't give this to someone who doesn't want it. He says, you have to prove to me that you want this gift. How do you prove to Jesus that we want this gift? By breathing in these truths each day. Breathing in, little by little. And what happens? God carries out his life in us because we're linked to Louisa. And we carry our life in God because of Louisa. So that's why I'm saying, who is she? Who is this newborn that God has entrusted sanctification in? This, every charismatic, every Pentecostal who's praying for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to experience the spirit of Louisa Picaretta. That's the great miracle that's coming. Volume 31, 12, 16, 32. My little daughter of my will, you must know, and again, this is a command from Jesus, that so much is the yearning, so much is the delirium, that I, God, want to love and be loved by souls that, hidden without being noticed, I place in the depth of their souls a dose of my love according to their disposition. Okay. How much do you love Jesus? How much do you love Mary? How much are you willing to spend time in front of our Eucharistic Lord? How much are you willing to pray the Holy Rosary? How much are you willing to wear the scapular? You know, this is the disposition. Jesus is looking. Who wants what I want to give? It's hidden. Who wants it? According to your disposition. So then I, God, increase the dose. And feeling my love in themselves, they tell me from their heart, I love you, I love you. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, if you can't think of anything to say, just say that over and over and over again. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Until you mean it. Until you feel it. Until you hear Jesus say back to you, I love you. See, you have to fall in love with Jesus. He's our everything. And people say to me, how do you fall in love with Jesus? You fall in love with Jesus by falling in love with Jesus. It's up to you. It's up to your disposition. Will you spend time in front of our Eucharistic Lord, looking at him, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him, worshiping him? This is what the rounds are all about. The rounds are to fall in love with God, to pray these prayers so much that when you are alone without reading, this I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you, is there. See, Jesus says he is doing this. He is increasing the dose because of your disposition. See, it's divine will is not going door to door. Divine will is not saying to your relatives and friends, read this. Divine will is to live this alone with Jesus and Mary and Louisa, to live this. Because Jesus says, most people don't want this. He says, I've given it to you, not that you tackle people, but that you begin to live this. He says, everything is done. All that now, it needs to be known. That's what Jesus keeps on saying. This needs to be known. By whom? By you. The few, Jesus says. And then he says, these are the souls who must live in my divine will. So you have been chosen by God from the beginning of time. You have been predestined by God from the beginning of time to embrace these truths. I know, and I don't know how many religious communities, there's only one sister or one brother reading the volumes. That's all. Because the rest are doing their own thing. they're very happy. I remember meeting this one nun in St. Louis, and she said to me, "I don't believe this. I don't believe the divine will." And I said, "Why?" She was a young nun. And she says, "Because if this is true, my life has been wasted." And I went, What is wrong with you? Jesus wants to give you everything, and you're talking about yourself? Selfish, self-centered person. My life is wasted. I can't believe this. I won't believe this. I refuse to believe it. Holy cow. You're a great nun. You know? Let me learn from you how to love Jesus. See, you're called by God to live this. And the majority of humanity will not, Jesus says, embrace this. Even the religious. Because they've got their plans. They've got their lives. They've got everything's planned out of where they're going to go. So Jesus says, very clearly, they tell me from their heart, "I love you, I love you." In feeling myself love, I triumph in this love of the soul. So every "I love you" of Louisa's and us linked to Louisa is a triumph that I make. And although I place my love hidden in it, I pay no attention to the fact that it was a crafting of mine in order to be loved. Rather, I pay more attention to the fact that it has passed through her channel, this is Louisa, that from her will, from her voice, Louisa's, I feel myself wounded, and I look at it as love that comes to me from the creature, Louisa. So every "I love you" of yours is an additional triumph that you make for your Jesus. And since you seek to cover heaven and earth, animate and inanimate things with your "I love you," I, God, look at everything dusted by the beauty of the love of the creature, Louisa. And I remain enraptured. And I say with everyone, with the emphasis of my love, "Ah, yes, how content I am." This is God. Already, I am loved. And while I triumph in Louisa's love, Louisa triumphs in my love. See, this is why we want to be linked to Louisa. She is the one who possesses this gift. Again, who is this Louisa Picaretta? You know, who is she? Volume 32, 4, 16, 33. "Now you must know," this is a command of Jesus, "that as soon as I was conceived, in the whole course of my life, in all the acts that I did, I enclosed inside love, conquest, triumphs. My work was very different from that of souls. To do and not to do, to suffer and not to suffer, was in my power as God. My all-seeingness hid nothing from me. And first, I placed my divine will in my acts. I enclosed the fullness of divine sanctity, fullness of divine love, fullness of all goods. And then, with full knowledge, I, God, offered myself to work or to suffer according to what I myself wanted. And with this, I, Jesus, rendered myself conqueror and triumpher of all my acts. But do you know for whom I made these conquests and these triumphs? For souls. I, God, love souls so much that I wanted to give." See, God, our God is gratuitous. He is constantly giving, and he's asking for nothing. That's our God. Give, give, give. And again, this shows the disposition. There are two types of people. There are givers and there are takers. The givers are happy. The takers are never happy. And I've seen that many, many times, where someone will serve and someone will sit to be served. And our job is to be like Jesus. He said, "I came to serve. I came to give." See, we can't just be selfish, self-centered anymore. We have to learn that when we serve someone in the divine will, we are serving Jesus. When we are giving to someone, we are giving to Jesus. And he is watching very, very clearly, very closely of what we're doing. He wants to give this gift, but he says, I can give this gift to those that are like me. They're givers. And when you start giving to God, you cannot be outdone in generosity. God will outdo you every single time. But when he sees you giving, when he sees you caring, basically he says, I see myself. See, to be in the divine mirror of Jesus is to be a servant. And this is why it's, you know, deacons are called to serve. I remember when we were being taught how to be a deacon, it was to serve. And the rector said, is anybody here a good server? You know, who can serve? Who can clean dishes? Who can do this? And he says, you're not going to be a prince of the church. You're going to be a servant of the church. And this is the thing that's so important, is that we want to be like Jesus. So again, we want to love so much like Jesus that we want to give. Jesus says, I wanted to be Jesus the conqueror, giving my conquests and my triumphs in order to conquer them, such that my life down here was nothing other than a continuous act of heroic love that never says enough, to conquests and to triumphs in order to render my children happy. And I, Jesus, did this in everything. If I walked, I had the virtue of being able to go from one city to another without making use of my steps. But I wanted to walk in order to place my love in every step, so that in every step it would run, and it would run, and I would render myself conqueror and triumpher of my steps. Oh, if the creatures would pay attention to me, they would have heard in my steps the continuous cry, I run in search of the souls in order to love them and to be loved by them. So it's the divine will is not for me. It's not for you to become holy. It's that Jesus says to Louisa, this is not to become saintly. It's to save the human generations. It's to repair the fallen nature of everyone. So if you want to live in the divine will because you want to be holy, you're in the wrong business here. This is not to become holy. It's to let Jesus rule in us, Jesus reign in us, and that we really begin to love as Jesus loved. And what is he saying? Every step was to search for souls in order to love them and to be loved by them. And this is what we want. We want our God to be loved. That's why we pray the rounds. When you pray the rounds in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, the Father hears everyone who has ever lived with your voice saying, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you. And all this I love you in the name of everyone and everything is being thrown to the throne of God. It's an explosion to the throne of God. And when that happens, the devil flees. The devil can't stay here. See, our job is to really begin to pray as Jesus prayed. To pray with the power of the command so that the kingdom is established. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is glorious. So if I work with St. Joseph in order to procure the necessities of life, it was love that ran. They were conquests and triumphs that I made, because one fiat was enough for me to have everything at my disposal. And making use of my hands for the little prophet, the heavens were amazed. The angels remained enraptured and mute in seeing me, God, abase myself to the humblest actions of life. But my love had its outlet. It filled, overflowed in my acts, and I was always the divine conqueror and triumpher. Taking food was not necessary for me, but I took it in order to make love run more and more, to make new conquests, new triumphs. In fact, I, God, gave course to the most humble and base things of life that were not necessary for me, God, But I did in order to form as many distinct ways in order to let my love run and to form new conquests, new triumphs over my humanity in order to make a gift of them to those I, God, love so much. And therefore, one who does not receive my love and does not love me forms my hardest martyrdom and places my love back on the cross. But I pass on in order to form the redemption, one tear of mine, one sigh was enough, but my love would not ever remain content. Being able to give and do even more, my love would have remained blocked in itself and would not have been able to boast by saying, I have done everything. I, God, have suffered everything. I have given you everything. My conquests are superabundant. My triumph is complete. And I, God, can say that I reached even to the confounding of the human ingratitude with my love, with my excesses, and with unheard of pains. Therefore, I myself place in every pain the intensity of the most intense bitter sufferings, the most humiliating confusions, the cruelest barbarities, and even I was fusing myself all the more sorrowing effect that only a man and a God could suffer. I offered myself to suffer, and oh, the admirable conquest of my pains, the full triumph of my love made, no one would have been able to touch me if I did not want it. And here is the whole secret. My pains were voluntary. I mean, think of this. My pains were wanted by me. And therefore, they contain the miraculous secret, the conquering strength, the love that moves one to remorse. And they have the virtue of overwhelming the whole world and changing the face of the earth. So this is, again, this is our God. Now, when you read this in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you know, Jesus speaks to you. And he touches your heart. He touches your mind. He touches your soul. He wants you to know how much he loves you. And there is nothing that you're going through physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally where God is not with you completely, 100%. And as he shows you voluntary, he says the same thing to you. Will you voluntarily do this for me? See, it's a different when you have suffering and it's there. That's not voluntary. That's okay, Lord, I'll go through this. But when you read this, when you study this truth, and you say to Jesus, I will volunteer as well. I want what you want me to go through. And again, this, Jesus, the Father looks down and he says, there is my Son. There is Jesus. So your acts are not human at that point, but they're sharing in divinity. See, God's got great, great plans. He's got extremely beautiful plans for his people. And to get there, we have to become another Christ. To get there, we have to have Jesus and Mary reigning in us. How? Through Louisa. And as you read these writings, Jesus begins to change you. As you begin to read these writings, Jesus is beginning to have his way with you. And again, this is not human. So our Lord is looking at us. He's talking to us. He's constantly saying, I want you to be in my image and likeness. I want you to do what I do. See, it's not just to be good and holy and saintly. I mean, we understand this with the priest. When the priest says, this is my body, that is Jesus Christ saying that. When the priest says, I absolve you of your sins, it is Jesus Christ that is saying that through the priest. So we understand a little of this. But Jesus wants us to understand more. And this is why he's given us these writings. I think we'll stop there. And we'll do the consecration at the back of the book. I think if we all kneel, if we can. And pray the consecration to the Holy Divine Will. And again, we're doing this for everyone and for everything, past, present, and future. It's not only for your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners, but everyone that ever existed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O adorable and divine will, here I am before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all in you, divine will. Therefore, prostrate before your light, I, the littlest among all creatures, come, O adorable will, into the little group of the first children of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I beseech and implore your endless light, that it may want to invest me and eclipse everything that does not belong to you, in such a way that I may do nothing other than look, comprehend, and live in you, divine will. It shall be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and of my whole being. In this heart, the human will shall no longer have life. I shall banish it forever, and shall form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love. With it I shall always be happy. I shall have a unique strength and a sanctity that sanctifies everything and brings everything to God. Here prostrate, I invoke the help of the sacrosanct Trinity, that they admit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, so as to restore in me the original order of creation, just as the creature was created. Celestial Mother, Sovereign Queen of the Divine Fiat, take me by the hand and enclose me in the light of the Divine Will. You shall be my guide, my tender Mother. You shall guard your child and shall teach me to live and to maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the Divine Will. Celestial Sovereign, to your Immaculate Heart, I entrust my whole being. I shall be the tiny little child of the divine will. You shall teach me the divine will, and I shall be attentive in listening to you. You shall lay your blue mantle over me, so that the infernal serpent may not dare to penetrate into the sacred Eden, to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my highest good, Jesus, you shall give me your flames that they may burn me, shall consume me and nourish me, to form in me the life of the supreme will. Saint Joseph, you shall be my protector, the custodian of my heart, and shall keep the keys of my will in your hands. You shall keep my heart jealously, and shall never give it to me again, that I may be sure never to go out of the will of God. Guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may grow flourishing and be the call of the whole world into the will of God. Celestial Court, come to my help, and I promise you to live always in the divine will. Amen. And may the blood that fell upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always, and that we truly become apostles of the divine will. And may Almighty God bless us, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless you.